Good afternoon and happy Sabbath. As this weekly Sabbath winds down, I hope everyone here and those of you watching on the Cybercast have been enjoying all that this holy time has had to offer. Many of us have family members or friends we share the Sabbath with, not to mention the majority of the week. After all, we are one family, right? This Sabbath is likened to a weekly family reunion day, with the Heavenly Father and Elder Brother as our primary focus, right? One of the things family members learn as we grow, is to look out for one another. I have two sisters and a brother living in SoCal, from the same parents. Also, two living half-brothers, one of which I've never met and only began to get to know via telephone about 2 years ago. We have the same father, different mothers. David is 17 years older than me and lives about halfway between Austin and Houston, Texas. My other half-brother, Richard, lives in Utah, and we have the same mother, and I'm 12 years older. Both my sisters, Kathleen and Mary, are older, by 4 and 6 years, and my brother Stephen is a little more than 2 years younger than I. I am 64. Sounds kind of funny to say that, as I usually do not feel my age, but there are times, or should I say, times in a day, or circumstances, I feel it, definitely. Like after walking up and down stairs, and days often climbing up and down ladders, walking on scaffolding, sometimes a mile or more in a day, then driving home, sitting in my car for 2 to 2.5 hours, when I park and get out, those initial couple minutes, I step gingerly and incrementally along like a proverbial 90-year-old man. I'm finding I must be very careful and sure of each step. A few of you know, and I'll just say, about 6 weeks ago, I lost my balance and suddenly fell head first down the bottom 5 concrete stairs while going up to the front door of the condo duplex where I reside. After bypassing the intermediary 3 steps, I landed head and shoulder first in a heap at the bottom. I was blessed again by our Father and must have been assisted by an angel to prevent any serious injury or broken bones. I knocked my head pretty solidly and experienced a bright flash behind my tightly shut eyelids. My right shoulder was scrunched up, and a nice contusion in the flesh next to my collarbone grew rapidly to the size of a tangerine. My right forearm, elbow, received a small puncture wound and a cut. After opening my eyes to see where I was, I took stock of my position and health. Feeling the swelling by my collarbone and the golf ball-sized bump on the back of my head, realizing the circumstances I found myself and no severe pain indicating a serious condition, I thanked our Father before getting up. Knowing it was His will, I went through that incident and recognized His merciful attention. Upon gaining my feet, I realized I was dripping blood from my elbow. After getting into the house and going to the sink in the bathroom and looking into the mirror, I assessed my cut, washed it, and reassessed. I bandaged it up, and about an hour or so later had to apply direct pressure for about 10 minutes and then rebandage it with extra gauze padding to last through the night. It was after 10 p.m. and I was not going to drive from Dana Point to Long Beach to go to the Veterans Administration Hospital, ER, to be treated. The next morning, the bleeding had seeped through the extra bandages, and I felt I might need stitches. So I stopped at the La Jolla San Diego VA Hospital ER on my way to work for treatment. As a service-connected disabled veteran, I must go to the ER for treatment outside of an appointment with my primary care physician. In the military, it is called sick call. I received a CT scan for the receding head bump, to make sure no internal bleeding was going on. A CT scan for the arm, to make sure there was no foreign object in the puncture wound before treatment. And an x-ray for my shoulder. I'm still Ray. The doctor said the arm wound had already begun closing and no stitches were required. The point of this description, besides sharing the inspiring telling of me falling headfirst down some concrete stairs, and being protected by our Father and His using an angel, but to get the point across to you that someone else is going through trials or things in their life, dramatic or not, that may need a hand or an ear to assist their making it through. The primary scripture I would like us to all focus on is heard in Matthew 24, verse 12. Let's turn there in our Bibles. Matthew 24, 12, New King James Version. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The word love here is not eros or lust, nor philios, the best form of love people without God's Spirit can have for one another. It is agape, the kind of love God has for the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for their sins. So the agape of many will grow cold. Is that talking about all people on earth? No. Does the world have agape love? Obviously not. Only those who are called and have God's Holy Spirit working with them. It is of those people, brethren, whose agape love will grow cold. This message is to bring to our remembrance the admonition summed up in the title of this message. If we do it to them, we did it to him. Let's remember what leads to the agape of many to grow cold. Of course, this section of scripture contains the Olivet prophecy Jesus spoke to his disciples, who, except for Judas Iscariot, were to be his apostles. Focusing in, the immediately preceding verses reveal the four horsemen going out, beginning soon thereafter, and that would be just the beginning of sorrows. Some called out ones will see those closest to Jesus getting severely persecuted and killed, and be offended, betray one another, and will hate one another. We know of the duality of prophecy in God's word. Jesus was telling his disciples what was going to happen in their lifetimes and at the end of the age of man. After all, Jesus was answering their questions, including the sign of his coming and of the end of the age. We have been forewarned, brethren, friends. We know a lot about agape love, don't we? We are supposed to love our enemies. This is reminiscent of John 3:16. We have the whole love chapter of the Bible to help guide us. Who does not know where that chapter is in the Bible? No hands, please. It is 1 Corinthians 13. We have the revelation of the two commandments in the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We are to do good to those that hate us. This is a difficult thing to do, yet God gives us his love to share. We can do it. We have the new commandment, to love one another as he loved us. All the words, love, quote-unquote, is translated from agape or agapo. That is godly love. This is important. You see, only certain people right now have this opportunity to love, quote-unquote, even our enemies or those that hate us. Everyone who has ears to hear and eyes to see with spiritual discernment can love others because his love has been poured out into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. This gives us hope. Agape love is action. It is fulfilled when one is looking out for the welfare of one another. We need to know each other or of each other. That way, if one is in need, then others may contribute help in the way it is needed. God himself demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, that is, in the process of being a sinner, Christ died for us. Jesus teaches us that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. You know, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, nor height or depth or any created thing. Once we have God's Spirit within, Only we can separate ourselves from that indwelling love of the Father and Jesus, who are themselves love. And love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. A neighbor can be a complete stranger who is not of our faith. I liken the fruit of the Spirit called love is named first in that list of in Galatians, and it is the sum of all the other fruits together. There cannot be true agape if there is any of those other fruits lacking. Conversely, I perceive if you are living all the other fruits named, then you are displaying agape love. That is why it is sad and brings sorrow that the love of many will grow cold. When that happens, hate has an open door, and bad things go through that door. Remember the firstborn son to Adam and Eve, Cain? How he killed Abel, his brother? And afterwards, God asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" And Cain said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" To God, the answer is a resounding yes. We are to bear with one another in love, abound in love to one another, develop that labor of love, the actions that show our Father we love one another. In summary, brethren, it is going to come down to this. In that day, there will be sheep and goats. What divides them is how they behave toward each other. Let me say, how they behaved toward each other. However they treated each other is how they treated Christ Jesus, the elder brother. If you do it to them, you did it to him. Brethren, we must endure to the end. How is your brother, your sister, your neighbor? Have a wonderful remainder of the Sabbath and weekend. I look forward to my turn in leading hymns next Sabbath.